Darlington. I know you're no stranger to Darlington Raceway. Of all the races you've competed in over the years here at Darlington, what is one that stands out to you, my friend?
Well, I got a few stories, but one of them was in the fall of the year. I drove Leo and Richard Jackson's car in the Sportsman race.
Okay.
And Pearson and I had a good race going, and I was leading. And Pearson always told me, don't go down the back straightaway. Now, I'm talking about the old racetrack, and look in the mirror when you go on the third turn, because he said it's real easy to get high, and if a guy's running good and he's behind you, he'll beat you to the flag stand. Well, I was leading on that last lap. I looked in that mirror going down the back straightaway to see where David was. I got high in turn three, and he beat me to the flag stand.
Yeah.
He won the race. However, the next spring, I drove Leo's and Richard's car again, and I lapped David, and we had a caution flag late in the race. I pull up alongside of him. He's going like this, slow down, slow. I said, no, no, no. And that race I won. And he said, well, you got me back.
That's great. We're going to open the floor up for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We're going to start here with Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Dave, one of the things I remember most about your career was, I think it was the 94, 95 Daytona 500, when they tried to take your Goodyear tires, and you refused to give them to NASCAR because you wanted them to go to Richard Childers. Remember that?
Well, they came to get my tires and told me they were taking the tires to Rusty Wallace, and I told them, no, they're not taking them to Rusty Wallace. They're my tires, and they're going to Dale Earnhardt, Richard Childress' team, because I had a Richard Childress engine in my race car.
Yeah. And that just speaks to your loyalty to them over the years?
Well, yes. I've been loyal to everybody that's helped me throughout my entire career.
Do we have additional questions for Dave? We'll go to Chris in the back.
Hey, Dave, Chris Scallon here with Above the Yellow Line Media, kind of over here to your left. So you're one of a crop of drivers who had a career in NASCAR that spanned well over three decades, which is something that you just don't see that very often, haven't seen in a long time. Do you think with how much the sport has changed today, that's something that a driver could still do, is have a career as long as yours?
Well, it certainly has changed, and I don't know. I think I came through a good era of the racing and with a good bunch of people, and I think today maybe it's changed, I guess, with all the computers and the engineers and things involved, and they don't get much practice in these race cars, and I think that makes it difficult for the driver. My theory has always been that you have to be comfortable in a race car. That's very difficult to do without getting any practice or being able to make changes on the race car. I don't think it could be too enjoyable to go to, say, for example, a Talladega or Daytona and not get the practice, and then you get to qualify, but then you have to start the race and run down in a corner wide open. Say if you're in the front row or something, without any practice. So, I don't know. I don't think it's the best for the sport. I think you need to practice and be able to make changes on the car to get comfortable, to put a good show on for the race fans.
If that had been the way that NASCAR operated throughout the days where you raced, do you have any insight as to who in the field that may have helped or hurt to have less practice time before the races? What kind of driver may have benefited from that, and who it may have been a drawback for the most?
I don't hear the best.
Sorry. If it had been similar to today's schedule when you were racing with less practice time, less preparation, do you have any insight as to what kinds of drivers may have benefited from that sort of regimen and what drivers may have been hurt the most?
Well, I think, you know, after you've driven in the series a little bit, you've got experience on the racetracks, and you drive by the seat of your pants in the field, and it's always been that way. And again, it goes back to being comfortable. If you're comfortable, the more comfortable you are, the more aggressive you're going to be in the race. And so that's what puts a good show on for the spectators. there's openings or chances you wouldn't take unless you were real comfortable. And I just think it's a better show. I mean, we used to have a practice a whole day during the week after inspection and stuff, and we could change springs and shocks and I don't know. I just think the sport was more competitive then. Right now, in my opinion, if you got a group of 12 cars that are really, really close together and experienced drivers, the guy that gets out of the pits first pretty much can maintain that lead till the end of their next stage. And I don't think that always puts the best show on. That's just my opinion.
Thank you, Dave.
We're going to go next to Deb, then to Dalton.
Deb Williams, Auto Week. Dave, you really became known in NASCAR after you moved to Western North Carolina from Wisconsin. What made you decide to make the move, and how difficult was it to make that decision?
Well, I raced in central Wisconsin for 10 years. I wanted to race for a living. There was the USAC IndyCar and stock car divisions. However, when I decided to, I just wondered, you know, what would it be like? I wondered, can I go down there and compete and be competitive? And the only information I had in those days was Hot Rod Magazine, and they covered just a few races, some of the bigger ones. But you know, I'd try and look and see if they would put times in or how fast they were running on what size racetrack. For example, Hickory was about all I had to compare to what I was competing on in Wisconsin. And I decided that if I wanted to do it for a living, I need to go to NASCAR. They start racing in February, and they race till late October in those days. Larry Wirth from Wirth Chevrolet in Bangor, Wisconsin, we found a car for sale in National Speed Sport News. It was in Asheville, North Carolina. A gentleman by the name of Don Biederman and Bill Seifert and them built that car in Betty and Harold Boyd's grocery store in Mills River. And Larry ended up buying that race car. He said, I'll help you buy it, and let's go to Daytona and see what we can do. I didn't have a clue. Didn't have no money. I didn't know what I was even getting into, like for a pit crew and all that kind of stuff. All the little guys pitched in and helped me, Elma Langley, Cecil Gordon, Bill Seifert, everybody, Clyde Lynn, Earl Brooks, all them guys. And they got me a pit crew gathered up, and that was the start of my career. And Larry always said, when you win some money, you can pay me back for the car. Every time I'd win a little bit of money, Larry'd say, let's buy some better parts. So when I got done with that car and all, Larry got the car back, and he never did let me pay him for it. And then Jim Sauter drove the car out in Wisconsin, and he took it to some IMCA races and won the Minnesota State Fair with it. But I mean, that's how I started. We case came down, we didn't have no money. I had an engine in the tow truck go haywire, and I patched it up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and made it to Daytona. And then I went over and visited Smokey Unick, whom I did not know, and asked him if I could work on that truck in his parking lot at night. And Smokey ran a drop cord and a light out of the shop for me, and I'd go over there at night and work on that truck to get it repaired so when we got ready to go back to Wisconsin.
Well, now, that place where you had your shop, was that an old mill there in the Arden, Skyland area?
Yes. That was, a grain and a feed mill. Yeah, and I originally rented that building for $75 a month in 1969, and I stayed in that building until 1987.
Thank you.
We're going to go next to Dalton, then to Trent.
Hey, Dave. Dalton Hopkins with Front Stretch. I'm a little bit on the younger side, so forgive me if there's an obvious answer that I don't remember from your career, but fighting has been in the headlines recently in NASCAR. Do you ever remember a moment where you traded blows with anyone? Did you ever get close to doing something like that?
I didn't hear it 100%.
Did you ever fight anybody in your career? That's what he was asking. He was asking about fighting. Did you ever fight anybody in your career on pit road?
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. A lot of times. That was kind of part of it. I mean, we had a different motto in those days. We pretty much handled it ourselves after the race, and the news media really wasn't involved. I can call an example at Michigan, driving for Harry Hyde, K&K Insurance. Cale kept coming down and ramming into the side of me. We were running first and second. I went on the radio. I said, Harry, you tell Mr. Crosscroft that I am not trying to wreck his race car, but if Cale hits me one more time, I'm going to spin him out. And Harry come back on the radio. He said, don't you worry about Nord Crosscroft. You just do what the hell you got to do. A couple laps later, Cale come down in the third turn, rammed into the side of me. I spun him out on the front straightaway. He spun and I spun. We went down through the grass, through the infield, and back up on the racetrack in front of the entire pack of cars. Nobody hit either one of us. Cale ended up winning the race, and I think I ended up third. And Cale and I talked about it later, and we settled it amongst ourselves, and we raced years and years after that, and we're the best of friends.
Go next to Trenton.
Dave, Trenton Warsham, FrenchCharge.com. I don't know if you've seen it lately. There's been an effort to save a speedway up the road called Greenville Pickens, and you've raced there throughout your career. What are some memories you have racing there back in the day?
Questions about Greenville Pickens speedway.
Yeah, Greenville Pickens. Yes, I raced there, and I think that was where Deb probably knows. That was one of our earlier television races, yes. So I was in that event, yes. I have some good memories of that racetrack. I ran quite well there on them shorter racetracks because of my experience, you know, on the short tracks in Wisconsin. And when I came here to Darlington, to me, this racetrack presented about three different types of racetracks the way it's laid out. And so I adapted very well to this racetrack when I first came here. In fact, in those days, through the Union Darlington Record Club, during the week when we practice and all, David Pearson, Buddy Baker, Bobby Isaac, Bobby Allison, some of them would watch us when we were a rookie and to see if you needed to take the rookie test. And they actually waived my rookie test. I didn't have to take it here at Darlington.
AJ Ford had to take his.
Huh?
A.J. Foyt had to take his rookie test here.
Oh, yeah. Did he? Yeah. Well, they decided, I guess, watching me in practice and in traffic and all that I was good enough, and they let me go.
Well, Dave, thank you for joining us here this weekend. I'm glad to see you wore your wingtips today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the wingtips on, so you're in full classic form.
I can go do an autograph session, for example, Stocks for Tots. Yeah. Got the tablecloths like this hanging over. Those race fans come through there, and they will lift that tablecloth up and want to see if I have them wingtips on. I mean, it's amazing, the race fans. They really are.
That's great. Well, you're amazing as well. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the weekend here.